And so this morning, I want to talk to you from the subject, we have a message to be proud of. Look at your neighbor, eyeball to eyeball, and say, neighbor, we have a message to be proud of. We have a message to be proud of. And this is what I hear the Apostle Paul saying in the text this morning. And of course, he wanted to go to Rome, couldn't get there as a free evangelist, missionary, apostle, pastor, preacher, but he got there in prison. And so as we look at our text, I want to encourage you as we approach this Alpha season that we have a message to be proud of. And I want to encourage you to be proud of that message and not be hesitant to share that message with those whom we encounter and those whom the Holy Spirit impressed upon our hearts to share the message with. I want to tell you this morning that as a pastor, I know that many Christians today are no longer sharing their faith. And a lot of them are not sharing their faith, not because they don't want to, not because they don't know how to, but fear keeps a lot of folks from sharing their faith. Fear of rejection, fear of being told that you are a religious nut. But if we have a message to be proud of, then we ought to have no fear in sharing the message. We are just the newspaper delivery boys and girls. We don't write the news. We just drop it off in whosoever yard we feel free to drop it off into, right? We just ride around and we just drop off the news. We're just the newspaper boys and girls. And so this morning, I want to encourage you to emulate the Apostle Paul's example as we see in the text. And if you look at verse 13 of our text, it says in verse 13 that, where are we? Verse 13, Apostle Paul says, I do not want you to be unaware, brothers, that I planned many times to come to you in Rome, but have been prevented from doing so until now. He's there now as a prisoner in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I had among the other Gentiles. What kind of harvest do you think Paul is talking about? Is he reaping corn? What kind of harvest is he talking about? Winning souls. And so even as a prisoner, he is still longing to get to Rome so that he could have an harvest with the people and to see souls come to Jesus Christ. I believe today that we ought to adopt the Apostle Paul's plan for a harvest. The harvest that he's talking about, of fruits, is the one of souls, unsaved souls. And so I want to talk to you this morning, and I'm hoping you will dialogue with me. And let's just pretend for a minute that you've got an apple tree in your backyard. If you want to have a harvest from the apple tree, what do you need to have first? You gotta have roots. You gotta have roots. If you got an apple tree that is not connected to soil, guess what's gonna happen? It will not grow. And so, in order for there to be a fruitful spiritual harvest, the tree has to be connected to the source that gives it life. And New Hope, I want to tell you that if you and I are not connected to the source that gives us life, we will not be fruitful. The source that gives us life is Jesus Christ. We can hang around the soil. We can be next to the soil. We can talk about the soil. We can sing about the soil. We can watch the soil. But unless we are connected in the soil, we will not have a harvest. So my encouragement to you this morning is to get connected with the soil. You got to have roots before you can have fruits. No roots, no fruits. And so I'm going to challenge you today to examine your lives to see if you have the kind of roots that it will take to produce the kind of fruits that we see the Apostle Paul so eagerly desiring to have fruits. Well, if you're going to have fruits, you've got to cultivate roots of prayer. You've got to cultivate roots of Bible study and reading. We've got to cultivate roots of love. We've got to make sure that the vine is connected to the branches so that they can produce the kind of fruit that we want to see take place. And so the Apostle Paul says that he is eager for to bear fruit. Well, if you're going to bear fruit, you got to cultivate roots. The branch must abide in the vines. And one of the other things you have to do is if you got a tree, an apple tree, and you plant it in the ground, one of the things you have to do is keep weeds away from it. I mean, Florrie is not here today, but she has a beautiful flower garden, and there's almost no weeds in the thing. But if you talk to, when I go and I see Florrie's beautiful flower garden, I say, Florrie, how do you have such a beautiful flower garden? She says she spends most of her time pulling weeds. As a Christian, how much effort does it take to grow weeds? How much effort does it take to grow dandelions? None. And if you let them grow, they will choke out your beautiful flower garden. And so the same illustration Paul is using for us today is that if we don't take care and eliminate the weeds of our lives, then those weeds, whether it be resentment and bitterness and unforgiveness and all these other things that you know the list of, if we don't take care of the weeds, then they end up choking the life out of us. And so my encouragement to you is not only do we need to cultivate roots, but we also need to eliminate the weeds that are so prevalent in growing and coming around us. You don't have to go looking for weeds. The wind just blows the dandelion right into your beautiful lawn that you just got. It just happens naturally. So my encouragement to you is let us cultivate roots. Let us eliminate the weeds. But another thing that we see in agriculture is that any good gardener or farmer prunes his vineyard or his flower beds or whatever you may choose to use. And one of the things that in order to have growth, you got to prune the tree around and take off all the excess so that it can grow more. And the more you cut back sometimes, the more you see new growth coming up. Well, as Christians, we've got to be open to the pruning. When God begins to prune us, it doesn't mean that we've done something wrong. Not always. Sometimes it is. It means that we've messed up, we did something wrong, and we're simply suffering the consequences for our actions. But in many ways, God prunes us so that we can be more flourishing and produce more growth and produce more crops. And so we've got to be open as well to the pruning of God. Now, what does that look like? I don't know. For each and every one of us, it's different. For Sister Elsie, maybe it might have been the loss of her brothers where God might be trying to teach her something. We don't know. In this natural life that we're in, we can't see. But one day when we get over to the other side, we will see more clearly and have a better understanding of why certain things happened to us the way in which they did. While we're going through financial difficulties and marital struggles and various things, we don't know why these things are the way they are, but could it be that God could be using some of these experiences and circumstances to prune us, to get us in such a shape that he can allow us to produce the kind of fruit he wants us to produce? Are you in the house this morning? It's highly possible. Highly possible. And so we must be willing to accept the pruning, but accept it with our mouths closed. Accept it and don't talk back to the Lord. Because a lot of times when we end up in difficulties, you say, why do I have to go through this? And why is she having a better life? And they're not serving the Lord. And why am I serving the Lord? And I'm struggling. Can't have this and can't have that. But if we are children of Almighty God, then we have to say, Lord, there's nothing in my life that is beyond the scope of your visibility. So therefore, I will walk through whatever I'm walking through with decency and integrity because my life is in your hands. And I will go where you lead me and I will follow you wherever you want me to go. And so we cultivate roots. We take care of the weeds. We accept the pruning. And then one other thing we must do as well. When you plant an apple tree or a mango tree, you don't plant an apple today and reap apples tomorrow. And the challenge is the in-between, from planting to reaping. And there is a waiting period. And a lot of people can't endure the waiting period. But my Bible says that those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. But it's the waiting. Waiting doesn't mean sitting around doing nothing, but waiting means hard work. Because while your apple tree is in the growth process, you've got to cultivate it. You've got to fertilize it. You got to water it. You got to prune it. You got to protect it from bugs. You got to watch it grow. You got to make sure the environment is right. It's got enough water. It's got enough nutrients. That is hard work. And some people cannot endure the waiting process. But I tell you that if you are a child of God this morning and you can endure the waiting process, you will reap the harvest that you have planted. So the Apostle Paul says to us in this text that he wanted to go to Jerusalem, and he's so eager to have some harvest from amongst them. He's so eager to have some souls saved. And I believe that if we're going to see some fruits and some souls brought into the kingdom, there's some things that we have to do as well. There's no way, Raquel, that I can go tell someone about Jesus that I'm not connected to. I can't tell you about a Jesus that I haven't spoken to in months. I want to tell you about a Jesus who walks with me and talks with me and tells me that I am his own. I want to tell you about a Jesus who woke me up this morning when allowed the blood to flow through my veins. I want to tell you about a Jesus who allowed me to go to sleep at night and got me up with health and strength. I can't tell you about a Jesus that I don't believe in. So I must be first connected to him. Believe in him, that he is the Son of the living God. I got to believe in his birth, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his second coming. And so I want to encourage you that if we're going to see the kind of growth that we want to see, we must be connected to the life source, that is Jesus Christ. In verse 14 of our text, the Apostle Paul says, not only does he want to see a harvest from amongst the Gentiles, verse 14 says that I am obligated both to the Greeks and to the non-Greeks, both to the wise and to the foolish. And so in verse 14, what we see is the Apostle Paul sees himself as a debtor. He is indebted. And you have to think with me for just a little bit, because earlier in the book of Acts, when Stephen was stoned, we know that the Apostle Paul was there. He wasn't the apostle then. He was there collecting the coats of the people, watching Stephen being stoned. You know, the Apostle Paul was on his way on the Damascus Road to persecute the Christians for their faith, met Jesus, and had a transformation in his heart. And so now, because of what Jesus has done for him, he says to us in the text, I owe a debt I could not pay. And what he's saying to us is, when you look at what I used to be, and when you see where I am now, how the Lord turned my life around, the church I once used to persecute, I am now preaching this same gospel. You know that it had to be the hand of Jesus operating in my life for there to be such a change and such a transformation. And because of such a change and transformation, I owe my life now to everybody, to Jesus, of course, but to all men, that I need to tell them about this Jesus who's on the inside, working on the outside, that's created a change in my life. New Hope, I want to tell you today, if we're going to see the kind of growth that we want to see in God's kingdom manifesting itself in the local church, then you and I have to think of where we were before the Lord met us, and then be excited and motivated. You know, when I look at the church today, I don't think most people think that they owe the Lord anything. We operate sometimes as though the Lord owes us. I don't have a bigger car. I don't have enough money. I don't have enough this. But when we look at the text, Paul says, I am indebted to Jesus Christ for the change and the transformation that he has made in my life. And because I'm indebted to him, I owe him, and I owe it to tell everybody that I come into contact with about this Jesus who saved me some time ago. Let me ask you a question. Do you feel that you owe Jesus anything? Because if you feel like you don't owe him anything, then you will not do anything for him. If you feel like he owes you, then you will continue to be disappointed. But the Apostle Paul says in verse 14, I owe him my life because he has changed and he has transformed me. Let's move on to point number two, number three. Verse 15. These are just reminders. You know this, you know the text. Verse 15 says, This is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are at Rome. I get excited when I looked at the text and it says, Paul says, Paul's adoption and preparation. He says, I am eager. I am ready to preach the gospel to you in Rome. He wasn't making excuses. Hello, somebody. Are you in the house? He was a prisoner, but he was still eager to preach the gospel. Are we eager to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ today, New Hope? Are we eager to tell someone about the good news God can change and transform their lives? Are we ready to preach the good news? Paul says in verse 2, I am eager. I was reading in my devotions in Luke chapter 14, verses 16 to 24, where a banquet was given and Jesus says to go and invite certain people, and the invitation went out, and the businessman, he sent his excuse and says, my wealth prevents me from coming to the banquet. He says that he bought some land and now he has to go and look at it. When you read the text, it doesn't make sense. No one operates like that. If you're going to buy a piece of land, you don't buy the land and go look at it. You go look at it first, then you go buy it. So his excuse was, I can't come to the banquet because I bought this land and now I have to go look at it. So this was the businessman's excuse. This is his wealth kept him from attending the banquet. The working man excuse says, my work. He says, now in Luke 16 verse 19, he says, I bought 5 pairs of oxen and I'm going to try them out, which doesn't make sense. You don't go and buy, 5 oxen and then after you buy them, go test them out. You test them out first, then you go buy them. So this guy, he makes another excuse. Here's a family man's excuse. And this man, he says, my wife. Well, sometimes you got to understand that one. the family man's excuse, he says, my wife. The businessman says, my wealth. The working man says, my work. And the family man says, my wife. And I can understand why he may want to stay home and hang out with his wife. But the point I'm trying to make is that when it comes to the things of God, it's so easy for us to make excuses why we can't do what God is asking us to do. But Paul says in the text, Eleanor, that I am eager to go preach the gospel. I'm in chains and shackles, but I'm eager to go preach the gospel to Jews and those who don't know Jesus Christ. And there was no excuse making here. Today, as I look around our world and I socialize with other pastors and Christians, we hear the same things. People are busy. No one has time for the things of God the way we used to. Everyone has responsibilities, and that is true. But my friends, I want to encourage you that there has to be time for the things of God in our lives. We must make time for the things of God in our lives. And I want you to emulate Paul's desire to go and share. And the reason he was excited to go and share the gospel is because he was not ashamed of it. Because he says it is the power of God unto salvation. Because he knew that when people were confronted with the good news, there will be change in their lives. In verse number 16, he says, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes. First the Jews, then the Gentiles. But how will they believe unless someone presents the gospel to them at a level that they can understand? And so, New Hope, I believe that this applies to you and I. We have to be able to take this message into our context of living and working and community and present it to the people in a way that they can understand. This is why we facilitate things like the Fun Family Day coming up next Saturday, because we want to reach people, not in the church setting, because there are many who will never ever set foot in a church building because the church has no relevance to them. But they would come to a park and have a hamburger and a hot dog, and they would be open to hear what we have to say in that context. And so this is why we do some of these things. And so, New Hope, I'm challenging you that to have the eagerness and to see the gospel as powerful, because the gospel is good news. The gospel can lift you up and it will turn you around. It will plant your feet on solid ground. It will take you to places you have not gone. It would mend broken hearts. It heals the sick. It recovers sight to the blind. The good news of Jesus and the resurrection power of Almighty God still changes lives today. And we ought to be passionate about sharing the good news, spreading the good news, being submerged in the good news, and being carriers of the good news wherever we go. We have a message worthy to be shared and to be proud of. When we look at verse 17 of our text, it says, For in the gospel, a righteousness of God is revealed. A righteousness that is by faith first to last. Just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith. And what Paul is saying to his audience is that before they were had any knowledge of Jesus Christ, there was no protection, there was no covering on them. But this faithful Jesus, this righteous Jesus who had no sin, became the righteousness, sinfulness. He became the righteousness for us. And when he went to the cross and died for our sins, his righteousness covers, so when God sees us, he doesn't see us in our sin state, but he sees the righteousness of Jesus over us. And he says to us that we now can live in this state of being right with God. Doesn't mean we aren't going to sin anymore. We all will sin. There's no perfect person. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But what Paul is saying to us is that the righteousness of Jesus, the faithfulness of Jesus, covers us. And now, because of this new relationship that we have with him, from the time we establish our faith until life ends, from beginning to end, we are covered with the faithfulness and the righteousness of Jesus. And so he's saying the righteous now shall live by faith, because now we put our faith and our trust in Almighty God. And if our faith is in him, then whatever happens to us, we know that it has not taken the Lord by surprise. You notice that the Apostle Paul was not whining and complaining in jail, because he knew that even in his state, there was a purpose for that. How many jailers do you think the Apostle Paul won to the Lord? Many. Because it was not important to him where he was serving, only that he was serving God. And so I want to encourage you, New Hope, that we have a message worthy to be shared, worthy to be spread. And I want to encourage you that as we go into this season of preparing for the Alpha Course and evangelism and outreach and giving, that you would give attention to this small passage of Scripture. Let us adopt Paul's plan to bear fruit. God wants us to be fruitful, not fruitless. Each person must be bearing fruit. And if you look at your life and you're not bearing fruit, you got to ask yourself the question, am I connected to the life source that produces fruit? Let us adopt Paul's position. I owe my life to Jesus, and I will do whatever it takes. Wherever he leads me, I will follow. I will go where he wants me to go. I will say what he wants me to say. I will endure and suffer what he wants me to endure, because my life is not my own any longer. He has transformed me. Let us adopt Paul's preparation. He says that I'm ready. The Bible tells us in Peter that we ought to be ready in season and out of season, and we ought to be ready to give an account for the faith to which we hold forth, so we can give a good defense to what we know to be true. Paul's power, he recognizes that it's nothing that he has done. It's not his good looks. It's not his eloquence of speech. But he recognizes that the power that changes and transforms lives is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, we got to know the gospel. We've got to be able to present the gospel in various situations. We've got to be able to invite people to come to know Jesus. It doesn't matter where they go to church. We are interested in kingdom building. When we build God's kingdom, he builds his church. Then we've got to adopt Paul's promise. The just shall live by faith. I have been justified through faith in Jesus Christ. And my life is a faith walk, and your life is also a faith walk. We have to trust Jesus that his word is yea and amen, and that it is true from Genesis to Revelation. And if we can't believe his word, then if we can't believe all of his word, we can't believe any of his word. But let us stand up for faithfulness. Let us stand up on the promises of God and live according to God's plan, and watch God transform our lives as we make an impact in the kingdom of God, and God changes the church. we have a message to be proud of. New Hope, we have a message to be proud of. Let us go out this week. Let us go out next week and the week after and find one person a week and present the gospel of Jesus Christ at a level that they can understand it. This is what God has called us to do. We are his hands and feet. We are the disciples of today. We've got a message. Let's not keep this message for ourselves. Let's not allow circumstances in life to keep us so suppressed and downtrodden that we have no time to tell anyone about the goodness of Jesus Christ. When we look at where he's brought us from, when we look at where we are today, God has been good to us. God is good to us. And he will continue to be good to us if we would choose to be faithful to his word. So let's share that message. Let's see if we can get a glimpse of the passion that was in the Apostle Paul as he's in chains and shackles and he says, I'm ready. I'm eager. I want everybody to know about this Jesus who's changed our world upside down. Can you commit to that? Can you find one person this week? Maybe the waiter, the waitress at the restaurant, your taxi driver, maybe someone in your own home, and present the gospel in your own way and trust Jesus that he will give you the words to say and that whatever you say will not come back to the Lord void, because that's his promise to us. His word shall not come back void. So let us stand on the word of God today. We got a message that's worthy to be shared and to be proud of.